The notes for this morning's message, you'll find sermon notes in there that'll be helpful for you. And we are in the book of Ephesians. Now we are in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Our topic today is verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. One of the most difficult attacks upon the Word of God, the one that's really hard to answer, the one that seems to cut right into the credibility of this book that we hold in our hands, is the attack against what the world today considers some absurdities. The absurdity they think of passages of Scripture where God commands the children of Israel to take rebellious sons and stone them in the city gate. They said, how ridiculous is that? We don't stone rebellious children today. No, we do a lot worse. We allow them to ruin their lives eternally. So take a look at the passages here that they object to. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So shall you purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now the world today would say, this is absurd. This is crazy. This is a God out of control. Why would he give this commandment to take a rebellious son, a disobedient son, and the sentence is death, a capital offense for rebelling against his parents? Well, the key is found in the very last sentence there, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, we don't know of anybody in the Old Testament who was ever stoned for being rebellious and disobedient against his parents, but this is an ongoing, habitual, pathological rebellion. And what God was trying to do to his nation was preserve his nation in the long term. For he knew that if you allow rebellious children to be rebellious, it will be contagious. Other children become contagious. There's no consequences against it. It'll spread through the entire nation of Israel, and all of Israel will be lost as a result. That's why the consequence and the penalty is so severe. It's for the long-term effects of what happens in a nation when this is allowed to continue. Take a look at Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Wow, that sounds harsh. And that's why God is so harsh in Scripture about this topic. Because let's go back even further. Why is God so insistent upon obedience to authority in the family, in society, in the culture? Why is it? And we point to the fact that all of it goes back to the glory of God. God wants obedience. God values obedience because it brings him glory. He designed this universe, take a look at my notes, so that every single molecule in this universe is exactly where it belongs. Every star is doing what it's told to do, so that the universe brings glory to God. When God designed this universe, he designed it with precision. He commanded every element to be where it ought to be. He commanded every star in every galaxy to be exactly where it ought to be. All the galaxies are spinning exactly where they're supposed to be, so they're not crashing into one another. There is not chaos in this universe. There is order in this universe. And the universe, as we look up to the heavens, the Bible tells us, look up to the heavens and see the very glory of God. The universe displays the glory of God as we understand its beauty, its power, its order, and we see order everywhere. And the opposite of that would be chaos. The opposite of that would be disorder. And so from the very smallest of molecules to the largest of galaxies and stars, everything ought to be in God's order so that the universe operates in its beauty without the chaos. And that now goes down into the home itself. So let's take a look at the context where we are in our passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 now. We've been through chapter 5 where Paul is talking about what it means to be a Holy Spirit-filled person. A person filled with the Holy Spirit not only worships to the glory of God, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, admonishing the congregation with one another to the glory of God, but he also now in the home lives out that spirit filling, lives out that control in a harmonious marriage, a marriage where the husband is loving the wife is respecting her husband, he is loving his wife like Christ loves the church. That's what a Holy Spirit-filled husband will do. And now he's extending the conversation past the marriage, but that's actually the foundation for what we're saying today, and into the home situation where he's now speaking directly to the children. Now here's a side note I want you to look at real carefully. We are a family integrated church. You'll see what that means in your bulletin, in your worship folder. And why are we a family integrated church? Here is the number one passage in all of Scripture that indicates why we are a family integrated church. Why do we have our children sitting with us on Sunday morning, sitting with our families on Sunday morning? Because it's indicated right here. When Paul wrote the letter to Ephesus, and he was expecting that his letter would be read to the church on some worship morning, some Sunday morning, notice who he's speaking to. He's speaking to, as you look at this passage of Scripture, he is speaking directly to who? The children in this passage of Scripture. Children, listen, Paul says, to what I have to say to you. And so we're doing that the very same way this morning. Children, listen to what we have to say to you. And so it's not having the parents worship and the children off in junior church somewhere else or learning these lessons in Sunday school. The church was a family integrated body back in the New Testament, and we are doing that today as well. I know growing up we used to sit in the teen section. How many used to sit in the teen section of the church? Yeah, I know. It was in the balcony. You sat in the teen section, right? Well, was there a lot of glorifying going on to God at that point in the teen section? Not in my church anyway. Notes are being passed between one person and another person, and jokes are being said, and the pastor's message was not being listened to. God was not glorified in the teen section of the church when I was growing up. Absolutely not. I know that for sure. None of us were paying attention. Not at all. And so here, we don't see that in the Bible, do we? We've been told in the Bible many times, bring your children, even your babies, to the worship of the church, and bring them to come and listen to what God's Word has to say. So, this is what we're going to look at this morning. Children obeying their parents. Let's look at our first point right here. Children need to be told to obey. Why? Because they are depraved sinners who are born disobedient. We're all born with depraved, sinful hearts. And that's the inclination of every heart, is to rebel against parental authority, against societal authority, against God's authority. And the word obey here is a different word than the word we used earlier for wives to submit to husbands. And that was hupotasso. That was put yourself under, voluntarily under, the authority of someone else in a way that's going to be very beneficial to you and to them. This word is different. This word is absolute. This word is an absolute obedience. Children are to obey absolutely, without discussion, without resistance. Just obey without question what your parents are asking you to do. Very different word, much stronger than the other word we're using earlier when a wife is told to submit to a husband. So the command is unconditional. Take a look at my notes. The command is unconditional. It's not, well, I'll obey if my father's a practicing Christian, or I'll obey if he's being reasonable in his request of me. I want to argue this. No, I think it's unreasonable what I'm expected to do. I've got too many chores, or somebody else doesn't have the same amount of chores I do, and they want to argue all of that. Or if he asks nicely. Sometimes he doesn't ask very nicely, or mom doesn't ask very nicely, or if he's being fair, then I will do it. None of that. Obedience is unconditional. Unconditional. No argument. No fighting. No debating. Secondly, children are to obey in the Lord. We expect our children growing up in our homes to meet Christ early in life. We pray that by the age of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they'll have made this commitment to Jesus Christ and accepted them as Lord and Savior. So we are fully expecting that in Christian homes, all of our children will become believers in Jesus Christ. And so they are living their life in the Lord, pleasing to the Lord, as if they are Christians. And so in that light, then they're going to display a Christ-like attitude in their obedience to their parents. Which means that the attitude of obedience is a pleasant attitude. It's not, I'll do this, but I'll do it grudgingly, or I'll do it with protest. No, it's a happy spirit. I will obey as if Christ is doing this inside of me. And so that's the idea of obey in the Lord. Do it with cheerful, happy obedience. Third, children are to obey because it's the right thing to do. It seems rather a bit superfluous to say that. I mean, obviously we know obedience is the right thing to do, and so why did Paul say it's the right thing to do? Because it's an important point he's trying to make. Children are to obey because it's right. It's simply God's way of doing things. It's the order of the universe. It's right according to the way God has ordered things. Just as a father's height can see dangers beyond that child's vision. Perhaps there might be a little ledge there or a cliff that child's going to fall off. A father can see that, the child can't. So the father says, I'm telling you to stop, don't go any further. Because a father's height can see dangers a child cannot see. So his added years of wisdom give him and mother vision beyond a child's. That's the way God has structured parenting. And God as well in our lives because of his insight and his wisdom. So oftentimes our culture wants to argue, well, don't discipline your child in this situation. Your child maybe had a bad night and didn't sleep very well, so give them an out. Give them an excuse. No, it's always right to expect obedience from a child, no matter what. No matter what the situation is. So ignore that pop psychology. You know, Navy ship captains, when they are and a ship of war, and they are in a hostile environment, and they're about ready to go into battle, and they need to make decisions right and left, they do not expect their XO, their second in command, to question their decisions, right? I mean, those decisions have to be made on the fly in an instantaneous decision. You know, if the torpedo is coming towards your boat, you don't argue with the captain to turn to port or to starboard. You just listen to his orders and you move, right? Why? Because sometimes you can't debate things. Sometimes you don't have the time to explain to your crew why you're doing what you're doing. That's the order in the military as well, and it makes perfect sense. And so in God's system, for mom and dad, sometimes we just issue orders that we know. I don't have time to explain. Just obey. And learn to obey gladly. So I say here, when parents are tempted to give in and allow disobedience because pop psychology might say, well, the child has an excuse today, they need to remember it's always right. It's always right for children to obey. The word children here is techne or techna. And it refers to little infants, you know, toddlers, all the way on up to adults. So 40, 50 years of age. As long as you still have a living parent, you're a child. So some of the things that we're going to be looking at here refer even to older adults, but mainly in view here is little children still living in the home. All right, so the next point, children are to obey because of the benefit, or benefits plural, of obedience. Great, great benefits. Listen to what Paul says, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. The promise taken right out of the Ten Commandments and adapted right from the Ten Commandments into Paul's passage in Ephesians here is a promise. He calls it the first promise. It literally is the first promise in the Ten Commandments. If you obey the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you honor your father and mother, the promise is you will live long in the land. So back in the Old Testament time, in the Ten Commandments, it was intended as a command to the Israelites, here is how I expect you to live. Your structured society should live in such a way that children obey their parents, and if you do, you will not only live a long life, but your community as a whole will get to stay in the land for a long, long time. And you won't be kicked out of the land by your disobedience when you rebel against me. So that's the idea. But now Paul is taking that very same promise, and obviously he's saying it didn't just refer to the Israelites in the promised land. It is now referring to Christians, every child of God, a Christian community. So now it refers to the children of God in the church of Jesus Christ. And so really this is a proverbial promise. When I talk about a proverbial promise, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean it's not absolute. I mean it's not absolute because you can have an obedient child, and that child is willing to do whatever mom and dad says. They're very compliant, but then come down with leukemia. Okay, well, they didn't live long. So there's an exception to this proverbial promise. What I mean by proverb is, or proverbial, is you go back to the book of Proverbs, and what Solomon says in all of those Proverbs is a general rule. This is what you can expect from God generally. Oh yes, if Solomon were to explain that, he'd say, yeah, there are exceptions to this, but that's not the general rule. So here, this is what we call a proverbial promise to children that if they do what God asks them to do, they will have a long life. They'll live to their 80s and 90s and 100 because of their obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and his instructions in the Word of God. So let's take a look at how that figures out practically in our lives, right? So disobedient children, looking from the negative side, disobedient children are in danger. The danger they face is multifaceted. Disobedient, disrespectful children are in danger of physical harm. The physical harm that can come to them, including careless and stupid stunts that kids do, and mom and dad have told them not to do that, don't do that, you're going to hurt yourself, or drug and tobacco use, premarital sexual consequences, STDs, etc., etc., etc. That's the idea. Your life will be shortened as a result of disobedience. You will not live a long life. Or emotional harm. You're going to hurt that friend, you're going to hurt your parents by doing what you're doing. You're going to suffer the results of that because you are disobedient to us. Or relational harm in their future marriage, it's going to cause them problems. Or workplace harm, leading to frequent firings, etc. Because they are disobedient to mom and dad, they're going to be disobedient or disrespectful to a boss as well, to one who's over them. So all of the above working together, combining to higher blood pressure, stress, which is going to lead to serious medical complications, early death. That's what Paul is saying. You can live a long life through obedience or a short life through disobedience. So what does it look like to honor your mom and dad? What does it look like to honor your parents? We'll start negatively and then we'll end up positively. Negatively and positively. Let's look at some scripture passages of scripture that talk about this. First of all, honoring one's parents means not rolling your eyes in total contempt or disrespect of your parents, or saying such hurtful things as, I wish you were dead, or I hate you, go to hell. Those are things that the Bible says in Exodus 21:17, whoever curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That is not respectful. That's dishonoring. That's being disobedient. So that's negative illustration. The word in Hebrew there, we kind of wrote it out for you, it's kalal. It means to hold a person in contempt, to have so little value and respect for that person that with your criticism and your scorn and your belittling, you tear them down and you hold them with such scorn that they can feel it and your eyes and your face show it. It means to treat flippantly, to treat lightly, or even to curse a person. Secondly, honoring your parents negatively. Honoring one's parents means not hitting them, not bursting out in anger and fighting back. So simply hitting them in anger. Exodus 21:15, whoever strikes his father, where there is attack, it means obviously exactly what it means to strike a blow. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Third, honoring one's parents means not depriving them of the necessities of life when they can no longer support themselves. Jesus had a word to say about this to the Pharisees. He was quite upset with the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and their double standard. And so he was confronting them in this situation. Jesus said, for Moses said to you, honor your father and your mother. And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. We just read that passage of scripture in Exodus 21:17. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban. In other words, I've got some retirement money set aside. I've got some savings here. But what I'm going to do with that savings is I'm going to dedicate that to God. And so I'm going to keep it in the bank account. But really, it's God's. And someday it'll be given to God. I might leave it to him in my will. But mom and dad, I know that you're eating only one meal a day now and you're only eating 5 days a week. And so, but you can't have that. That's what Jesus was saying. Then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother by what you're saying. I've dedicated this to Corbin. I've dedicated it to God. It's sacred. It's set apart for him. And Jesus was blasting that idea. No, to honor your father and mother means taking care of them when they can no longer support themselves. Let's look at it positively on the other side of it. Honoring one's parents means listening respectfully to your parents' advice and following it if at all possible. And this is even to adult children as well. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. They have wisdom beyond yours. So listen to what they have to say. Secondly, honoring one's parents means taking heed to the religious instruction given to you. That was the intent behind what Solomon was saying in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, specifically the religious instruction he's going to give you in this book. And forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Listen to mom and dad. Take their wise advice about what God has to say to you and live it out in your life. Third, honoring one's parents and all elders means showing all cultural symbols of respect, such as standing up when an elder comes into the room. Even in my day, I can remember where it was appropriate when someone who is an elder came into the room where you were in, you stood up. You got up from your seat and you welcomed them and you honored them. When did we lose that? When did that happen when, you know, you're sitting in a room and an elderly person comes in and it's a person of respect and all elderly people need this respect and we just kind of flippantly keep the TV on and no big deal and who are you and it doesn't matter. No, the Bible speaks specifically of this. I guess it's not just a biblical thing. It's all cultures should expect this kind of respect to happen. Leviticus 19:32, you shall stand up. Get up out of your seat. Show some respect. You shall stand up before the gray head. In other words, the elderly person. and honor the face of an old man. And you shall fear your God, I am the Lord. Wow. Has our culture today and our society today lost this? We no longer respect the elderly at all like we are called to do. So honoring one's parents means showing all cultural symbols of respect and demonstrate that in your life. Honoring one's parents, number four, means esteeming them, revering them, valuing them with the utmost of respect. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, our passage of Scripture today. The Greek word is timei, and timei means to value highly, to prize, to treasure, and that's how children are to look to their parents, to treasure them, to value them highly. Now, this last statement might be a bit controversial, but I think it's a very accurate statement, and I think we can back it up with Scripture. Ultimately, a child who does not know obedience cannot know the Lord. A child who does not know obedience in the home cannot know the Lord. So a child who is rebellious in the home and growing up rebellious and refuses correction, demands their own way, is a child whose heart is not going to be soft towards the Holy Spirit, because conversion and accepting Christ as Lord inherently means that you're going to surrender your will and life to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. And a rebellious child has not learned that, won't accept that, won't be willing to make that surrender and that commitment when the Holy Spirit comes calling on them. And so if we allow disobedience in our home from age, whatever, 6 months on, to teenage years, you are confining that child to eternal damnation. I think that's what Scripture intends to say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, and for murderers. In other words, a child who grows up understanding that they are to obey their parents in all things, and been taught at an early age then to obey the civil authorities like police officers and others. They have been taught to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hearts are prepared to do that. They don't need the law. Not really. They don't need the law to convict them. It's the disobedient, the ones who strike their fathers and mothers. They're the ones who need to be told by the law that your life is in conflict with the Word of God and God's laws, and that you will resist it. You will resist it to the very end. It seems to indicate that, and that would be a dangerous outcome. God can make exceptions, no doubt about it, but I'm saying as a general rule, that's the case. So, teaching our children to obey in the home at an early age is extremely important for their eternal destination. Right? It really is. It really is. Let's close our time by bringing these thoughts to the Lord. Father, we have read these words so clearly. There's no debating what they mean. And yet we struggle with the application of these words. And we as parents need at this point to confess to you our disobedience to you, Heavenly Father. We're going to learn more about that in the next verse as we study that next week. But yet, by allowing disobedience in our homes to go unchecked and rebellion, which you said is as the sin of witchcraft, and allows demonic interference in a child's life when they rebel, is like an open door to saying to demons, come on in and live inside my life and keep me rebelling. That's what the Bible says. Does great damage to our children. And Father, sometimes we've been just too worn out or lazy to address the issues head on in our homes, and we've done a disservice to your children. So forgive us of our laziness or our weariness, for it is always right for a parent to expect obedience from a child all the time. And Father, I bring our children to you today as well who've listened to this. And Father, I know that they are absorbing it. They can understand what we're saying. And we pray that their hearts will also be touched by the Holy Spirit, that they will look at their own rebellious attitudes at moments in time, disobedience, and realize there is eternity at stake, souls on the line, according to your word itself. So, Father, I pray that they will be soft towards you even this morning, open to listening to the instruction they are receiving from the Word of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.